Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. It's Thanksgiving week and the start of the season of giving. It's also the time of year when nonprofits and community organizations make their annual appeal for donations. But giving isn't limited to writing a check. There are a number of ways we can give back to community organizations, and all of them have a good chance of making you feel good at the same time. Today, we discuss ways of giving, and joining us in our Woods Hole studio is Jason Lilly, Chief Wealth Management Services Officer at Cape Cod 5. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Mindy.
Karen Bissonette, Executive Director at the Falmouth Housing Trust. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mindy.
And joining us on the phone from Vermont is Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
All right, so if you ask someone not from here to describe Cape Cod, he or she will likely mention ocean beaches, waterfront homes, a vacation paradise, and while that's all true, it's not a complete picture. As many listeners know, many Cape and Islands residents struggle to make ends meet. And Karen, you've worked in the nonprofit world on the Cape for a number of years. What are some of the challenges low to moderate income people here face?
Well, now that I'm in housing, I would tell you that housing is an extremely challenging for a lot of people on the Cape. And it affects all of us because the people who can't afford to live here are those people that we really need to live here. So I would say housing and those things that surround housing are very challenging.
Yeah. Jay, describe the different ways the Community Development Partnership steps in to help address some of the region's needs.
Sure. So, you know, we serve the eight towns of the Lower Cape, helping both in the affordable housing field and also nurturing entrepreneurs to help them create small businesses. And I would really echo Karen's observations that, you know, on the Cape, we have wages that are largely seasonal, particularly on the Lower Cape, and driven by a service economy that are below the state median. Yet our housing situation on Cape Cod has the prices and the market for housing have absolutely nothing to do with our local economy, given the pressure from second homeowners and retirees. And so that puts a real squeeze on many of our residents trying to find an affordable place to live and also trying to find you know, jobs that can pay them so that they can afford our inflated housing costs. So we own and operate about 72 units of affordable rental homes. We have first-time home buyer classes that prepare young homeowners for the dream of home ownership. We have a housing rehabilitation program. And then we, through training and technical assistance, help small business owners grow and strengthen their businesses. We have a robust microloan program. So for businesses that aren't able to go and get a loan from a bank, we can provide a loan and the support and technical assistance to make sure their business is successful so they can repay that loan.
Yeah, and talk about housing for a second here. Rental property, there's just not a lot of rentals.
Yeah.
And I have
yeah.
to say, I can think of maybe three or four people I know who actually rent sort of below the market value, which is such a nice thing to do. But the rentals and what you're getting for like $1,000 a month is not what you would think of as a luxurious place by any stretch of the imagination.
It's no, really it's tough. Supply and demand. There just yeah. aren't enough. And I will tell you that you said there are people that do that. And I can think of a couple of people that in their own way, they do that. They're landlords and they actually, it's like a case-by-case basis.
Right.
So we do have some really wonderful people yeah. in our community.
All right, Jason, you're with the wealth management branch of Cape Cod 5.
Yes.
But your institution, like many for-profit companies, has a charitable foundation. So talk about why charitable giving should be part of a business model.
Yeah, absolutely. I am lucky enough to work for a great mission-driven organization, and you know, community engagement is really at the heart of the organization, and they embrace that in the five ways of community engagement. So giving, critically important. We think of those five ways. Philanthropy is one of them, which is in many ways financial support. And for this year, as in the last several years, we're going to provide financial support of in excess of $1 million to worthy organizations, nonprofits, and causes across the Cape and the islands and even over the bridge. That represents over 500 this year, different mm-hmm. nonprofits, different causes and organizations. So that's great. Another one of those five ways is corporate leadership and volunteerism. So the bank not only advocates for the employees to go out and volunteer, but pays them to do that, which is a bit rare. Latest numbers, we have more than 20% of the employee base not just volunteering their time for a particular event or anything like that, but actually on boards, actively engaged. So that's over 100 employees.
Wow. I didn't know you did that. That's great. All right. So we're going to talk about the different ways people can give to nonprofits and the benefits of giving. But even if you're an Ebenezer Scrooge and, and loath to part a nickel, giving to the community also benefits you in return. Jay, what happens to communities that can't support different socioeconomic groups?
Again, you know, what happens in those communities is that you've got you know, real difficulty trying to run your programs and provide support for residents who are, you know, and families who are struggling in your community. You know, we're really blessed at the Community Development Partnership. We raise close to $500,000 a year from individuals and businesses. Not only who are living in our community, but we've also made a real effort to engage seasonal and part-time residents, you know, who may be very philanthropic where they live year-round, but also understand the real challenges that they face. You know, they've struck up a relationship with their bartender, and understand what it is, a struggle it is to live here, or talk to people who landscape their house, and you know, a business will tell them what a hard time they have finding employees because of the cost of housing. So I think we're really very fortunate on the Cape. Even though we have a lot of needs, I think we also have a lot of opportunity and a lot of wealth in our community that really wants to be engaged and being part of the solutions to the challenges we face.
Yeah. We see, we're talking about, you know, kind of the living wage and how many people are going over the bridge now to be able to afford to live on this side of the bridges. It's, it's tough. And we need those, you know, grocery clerks and dishwashers and nurses and, you know, all those folks that,
Teachers, first responders.
And so to be able to afford a house here, Karen, we were talking before we went in there, you have to make like something like $80,000 plus?
Yeah, I think at the minimum, I think the average cost of a home now is like $422,000.
Crazy.
And you have to make, you know, higher than $80,000 a year to be able to do that. And a lot of positions on the Cape don't pay that amount of money. Yeah. So, you know, and then to raise a family, it's even, I've been on the board of the Boys and Girls Club for a long time, 20 years, I say, started when I was 10. But, and, you know, that demographic there, you know, I think it's 25% of the kids live on, the families live on less than $25,000 a year. And we just don't, that's not the Cape Cod most people see.
Yeah.
And it is part of our community. And you know, people don't understand, you know, what really is kind of behind those beautiful beaches. And
It's tough to convince them, too. Yeah,
go ahead, Jason.
It's something that we talk a lot about at Cape Cod 5. And you know, one of our other ways is community banking. And we think that community banking represents the community at large, you know, not just a specific demographic. So interesting fact, Cape Cod 5 is the largest lender with the Mass Housing Program, which is a government program that is unique to low and income household levels. So largest in Barnstable County and one of the fastest growing on the islands where we, you know, haven't been established as long.
So there's research showing that being thankful and grateful, two characteristics of people who tend to give, have positive impacts on our physical and emotional health. Do any of you see examples of this in the people who contribute to your organizations or that you work with?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I really think that, you know, we were talking about this before. I'm a glass half full kind of person, so I'm always trying to see the best in people. But people are really good. You know, I mean, I see that in this business. And so people really like to help, and they like to matter. And they like, you know, not only to write you a check, but they also like to be involved. And I think that our community lends itself to that because we have so many people that retire here, and they have so many wonderful skills. And just to be able to tap, you know, into that, I think, you know, we are unique in that way. Our community is.
In my business, in the wealth management, we work with a lot of clients, preparing for retirement. So in many cases, a lot of them have been very successful in their professional worlds. It's really interesting, and it's really rewarding to see them shift from that kind of professional success into full retirement and take on a cause of significance. And oftentimes they're much harder to get in touch with and bring in for meetings when that happens. They're so much more busy. And generally those meetings take on a whole different approach, and they evolve from planning for retirement to, you know, in retirement, we'll spend a little bit on the wealth management side of things, and then we'll spend a lot of time talking about what their cause is and what their initiative and what they're doing on the board. And
yeah, you have time for your passions.
Yeah, right? Time for the passions.
Yeah. And, yeah, tell us about your mother-in-law.
So my mother-in-law, she is, she retired, and for the longest time, we had encouraged her to volunteer her time. You know, she's not someone that is, she's independent, widow. She's not anyone who is going to be a large donor by any means, but she has a lot of energy, and, she's a glass half full type of person, great energy, great personality. So we were trying to encourage her to volunteer somewhere somehow. And she immigrated to the United States from Portugal. She missed the whole computer kind of generation. So I think, you know, she felt maybe there's a little bit of lack of confidence about how she could actually have an impact. Ultimately, it came down to our next door neighbor, who's also independent widow in her mid 80s. Who dragged her out and said, "We're going, you're coming with me, you're going to volunteer with me today at the senior center." So off they went, loved it, and now she goes 2 days a week and can't stop talking about it. And what it does is it actually brings in my wife and I and the kids into, you know, her day, and we become engaged. So, you know, you can give time, you can give talent, you can give money, but what we see is with the time and the talent, it also creates advocacy.
Right.
You know, so yeah. She's talking about what she's doing and how she's spending her day and what's going on, and we become much more aware.
Yeah. Jay, I'm sure you probably have some examples too.
We have this amazing brain trust that works with our organization. We have a advisory council in addition to a board of directors. And I've just continued to be astounded at the talent that resides on the Lower Cape. You know, for example, one of our advisory council members is just retired as a senior VP for Corcoran Property Management in Boston, and she is Carol McDonald is her name. She's been helping me kind of restructure and put together a plan to grow our property management division so that we, you know, as we get more affordable housing that's in the pipeline created on the Lower Cape, we're in a position to have a locally controlled management company. We've partnered with SCORE, who are a group of retired executives, and they're just amazing resources to the small businesses that we work with, and, you know, have a whole host of skills from finance to, you know, helping businesses negotiate commercial leases enhancing their marketing. You know, all people who have just held major positions in big companies and small companies off Cape who are now available to be resources to small business owners that we work with on the Lower Cape.
Yeah. And we're talking about a lot of talent, which there is Cape and Islands. We've got all these really interesting people. But even folks like your mother-in-law, who, like you say, maybe doesn't have the computer skills, but has that great personality. Even, you know, these people think, well, why would they want me, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people are going, what could I do? And they're just finding that right fit is key, because there's everybody can offer something.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and I think it's important socialization-wise, because
yes.
I think, you know, you read all those studies about, you know, how people live longer. They're engaged. They're engaged. And we do have lots of people that are widows and widowers, and I think it's important that they engage with doing something.
Right. 866-999-4626 is our number. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're discussing giving this hour. How do you decide what charities to support? And do you donate time, your talent, or make a monetary donation? Join the conversation. 866-999-4626. We'll talk more after a quick break. You are listening to The Point, and we are discussing giving this hour. How do you decide what charities to support? And do you donate your time, your talent, or do you make a monetary donation? 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. In studio with us is Jason Lilly, Chief Wealth Management Services Officer at Cape Cod 5, and Karen Bissonette, Executive Director at the Falmouth Housing Trust. On the phone is Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership. All right, so giving is personal. Some people are driven by statistics. They might want to determine the region's biggest need and put the resources into organizations that are addressing that issue. Others want to have a personal or emotional connection to a cause or organization. So what's your advice on how to determine what organizations to support? Jason, you probably get this a lot.
We do get it a lot. A lot of our clients ask for advice and guidance and some stewardship in that direction. So first and foremost, being good financial advisors, we're going to crunch the numbers and make sure that they can do this. Once we have that, then and it's usually yes, but it might be yes with a but. So they might have they might have a budget for giving in a particular year, and there could be a particular initiative or a capital campaign that they're excited about and they want to give more in that particular year. So we kind of talk through that, crunch the numbers. We have noticed in the last few years, though, that there has been an evolution. It's less about just writing the check these days and more about the return on investment. So if it's money, time, or talent, they want to have a better sense of what the impact is going to be. What, if I write the check and give some of my time in terms of my expertise or just, hours volunteering, will I be able to expand the reach? Will we impact more? Will we bring more awareness to our cause? What type of return will I get on that donation? Is this something that will stabilize the organization so that it can continue not just for the next year, but decades down the road? So it's getting a little more sophisticated.
Yeah. Well, certainly we have our choice of a lot of nonprofits on the Cape.
Yeah, it was like 1,000 or something.
At
right?
least. Yeah, I would say closer to 1,200 when you consider the religious organizations and whatnot. But, and I think that people really want to do give locally. And, for myself, that's what I do, except, I went to Northwestern University on a track and field scholarship, so I feel very obligated to make sure someone else can do that as well. But I think that when it comes right down to it, people want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's and sometimes, as a development officer, and I'm doing less of that now because I'm doing more administration, people also in different years, they're turned on to different things. And so I think it's important just to make sure that you, as the person that is helping them give away money, that you listen to the donor.
Yeah.
Because it is very personal, and it is all about them, and it's not about your organization, actually.
Yeah. Jay, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think it's a real mix of what we do to try to appeal and explain, what we do and why it's important. And, part of that is certainly the data that we have, the fact that over 20 years we've loaned over $3 million to 150 businesses, or last year through our training and technical assistance work with small businesses, we created and preserved 70 jobs or helped 40 families rehabilitate their homes. That's all really important data for people to see that their investment in the work that we do does have a result. But I think equally important too are the stories. And so certainly in our communications and on our website, we try to tell those stories about, young people who are trying to make a foothold in our community and start a new business, such as Chiquesa Chocolate up in North Truro. And over a 5-year period, Chris created a strong, healthy business, and thanks to a microloan from the Community Development Partnership, and now employ 20 people. Or the family that has been able to buy a home and through our housing rehabilitation program was able to put a new roof on that home since they had used up all of their funds for their down payment. That all of those you know, those real life stories and knowing who the people are in our community who are helped by a contribution is really important.
Yeah. So with all the nonprofits out there, how can we make sure an organization is legitimate? Are there ways to ensure your donation is being used in the way you intended? I'm thinking sometimes you get those phone calls and they say, it's to support, you know, firefighters or policemen, and they may not be legitimate. So how do we check that out?
Well, first of all, if someone says they're going to come to your house and pick up the check, never do that. So that's just a word to the wise. But I have the pleasure, too, of sitting on some organizations that give away money, like, for instance, the Kelly Foundation, which is a wonderful organization on the Cape. And I think that it's really important that people follow up, you know, that you keep people feet to the fire and you keep them honest by making sure that you follow up and check, is did this check go to what you said it was going to go to?
You know?
We'll look at annual reports. Mm-hmm. We'll look at Massachusetts government filings each and every year. So there's ways to get data and do the analysis. And then boots on the ground interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think too, I mean, as Jason said, you can look at reports. GuideStar is a great resource on the internet where you can actually look at a nonprofit's tax return and get a sense of what their nonprofit practices are and what their results are. But I think I think a big part of being a donor is taking the time to have the relationship and really get to know the people who are working for the nonprofit, attending. I think it's one of the importance of events is that it's an opportunity to really go and meet the people who are behind an organization and see what they're doing, because it is important to be, I think, to try to think about what is important to you and be strategic, whether, you know, you're a donor who gives away a couple $100 a year or a couple $100,000 a year. You really want to make sure an organization's work and values are in tune with yours.
I'll share a personal story. I was asked if I would be interested in joining the board of the Cape Cod Cultural Center. And, you know, I knew the organization. I had been to many events there, but just kind of on the surface. My children surpass my artistic talents by either kindergarten or first grade. So, you know, I didn't have any talent in art or anything related to that. But it was a friend, I loved the building. I knew a little bit about the center and the organization. So I said, sure, I'd like to learn more. So we brought the family for a tour and met the executive director, Bob Nash, and then eventually Lauren Walk, Amy Neal. And I was astounded at the number of programs and all that's going on. Like, there's just
every day. Yeah.
Every day they have so much, and it's just much broader than painting classes. They have pottery. They have music. They have
everything.
Video. Everything. They have culinary. It's just a wonderful organization. And what was great about it is the whole family participated. And, you know, we sat down. We talked about, is this something that would warrant me spending, you know, a couple of at least one Thursday every night getting home late to, you know, invest our time, our family time. And everyone was in agreement. And it's something that was outside of my comfort zone in terms of my talents, but it's been so rewarding.
Yeah,
great people.
That's a great idea, having it kind of be a family decision. Mm. And I know I was going to get to this at some point, but I'm going to bring it up now. Is teaching our kids or grandkids about philanthropy?
It's a learned behavior.
Yeah.
Philanthropy is a learned behavior. And not both my parents were educators, so there wasn't a lot of spare money when I was a child. But I just always remember that my parents were always giving, and it wasn't just money, it was their time, and you realize that because they weren't with you, they were somewhere else, you know, but it is a learned behavior, and I think it's really, really important to make sure that our kids understand that most of our children, I think mine and Jason's, and are very they're really have had advantages that other children don't have. Yeah. You know?
We have a wonderful donor at the Community Development Partnership who has children and grandchildren, mm-hmm. and they, a number of years ago, she took some money to establish a small family foundation. And every year, they live throughout in New York and throughout the Northeast, but every year they gather at their home in Truro for Thanksgiving for a board meeting of the foundation. And basically, as the grandchildren reach young adulthood, they get a seat on the board and get a say in vetting proposals and you know, presenting to their family where they would like to see their share of the family's giving happen that year. And it's really just been amazing to talk to the donor about that process of passing on this, you know, this legacy of engagement and giving away, but also recognizing that you really need to teach the next generation about how to be good stewards of the family's resources and how to you know, make giving decisions and read and review our proposals.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from you how you're engaging your children or grandchildren in giving and volunteer work. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. What age do you start that?
Oh, I think that you can start it, you know.
Just day one.
It becomes part of your, I mean, it's as simple as, you know, you're walking by, especially the holiday season, you're walking by the man ringing the bell with the Salvation Army, you know, mm-hmm. and it should be, you know, and why is that? I think it's a discussion. Mm-hmm. It's always a discussion. And I think we need just to remind our children how lucky they are,
yeah,
you know, and that
sure.
there are others that...
Yeah.
And toys for tots, you know, buying a toy for another child. Well, mm-hmm. you know, that's a foreign thing, you know, give it away.
Yeah.
I think Karen's right on the why stage, which is usually age 3 to 5-ish or so, yeah. where everything's why.
75 whys in an hour.
Yeah. That's a great, they're not going to under, you know, the $5 or whatever you put in the Salvation Army, they're not going to understand the $5 in relation to, you know, the impact and total budget and reach, et cetera. But that comes with time. And if you just, you know, start young, take the time to answer the whys and explain the value and the importance of that, and then just let it build over time. In our family, I really noticed a difference in the engagement level with Maria and Harvey. The two hurricanes last year or so, because they were so devastating mm-hmm. and so impactful. And so the girls were about 12-ish at the time. And they were, you know, at the age where the media attention, you know, made an impact on them. And so we had much more substantive conversations there. And we let them make donations themselves through PayPal. So kind of evolve it over time as they grow and expand.
Yeah. And speaking of giving, just to remind everyone, Giving Tuesday is next Tuesday. It's always the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And it just brings to light, it's a national day, brings to light a day of philanthropy. So a lot of people really push on that day. Not that we shouldn't push every day, but Giving Tuesday seems to be one of those.
Makes you think about it anyway.
Yeah, it makes you think about it and be grateful for what we have.
So we have some national nonprofits here, such as, you know, Red Cross. I mean, United Way is a little different here. United Way, we think of it as national, but it's the
local.
United Way here, it gets spent locally, YMCA. And there are many more regional nonprofits. Do you find people are more interested in giving within their specific communities than to larger organizations?
I think that's been my experience. Jay, probably with you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think very much so that I think there is a recognition, you know, that we don't have a huge corporate giving base here. I mean, we're really lucky to have, you know, businesses like the Cape Cod Five and other local community banks. But but it's not like where there are major, you know, foundations. And so I think donors on the Cape really understand that we've got great needs here and opportunities to make a difference. And you know, a lot of the people that I talk to really try to really focus their giving and their volunteer work here on the Cape and the community where they live.
Can we talk, and Jason could probably help us with this, a little bit about the new tax laws, like maybe briefly, because I know that I received something from my accountant the other day, and it is going to change people's deductions. But I have to say that if you look at the reason people give, that's usually about 10th on the list as why they give is because they can deduct it. But I mean, to some people, it does matter.
Yeah.
But,
so what is this new tax law, Jason, that went into effect earlier this year?
To simplify, it makes donating a little less attractive, just because from exemption standpoint. So what we've noticed is there hasn't been a decrease in the level. So in other words, a dollar donated last year doesn't have the same after-tax impact as it would this year. So in other words, you might have to give a $1.20 on an after-tax basis to equal that $1. So we haven't. Karen's point is a really good one. It's the intention. It's not about the after tax savings, if you will. Mm-hmm. But there are ways that you can still optimize. So an example would be we're doing much more direct donations out of IRAs as part of the required minimum distribution because there's some tax advantages to that. So it's just optimizing the location and the withdrawal strategy as opposed to changing the actual level.
And for those people, Jason mentioned IRA, for those of you who are 70 and a half, you can actually make a gift directly to a nonprofit, and it counts as your distribution for that year. So it's very attractive, and you can give up to $100,000 a year. And if you have a spouse, that person can give $100,000 as well. So it's kind of a nifty thing to do.
It really is. Yeah.
So determining how much to give is also personal. So Jason, is there a rule of thumb about a percentage of earnings or income that one could consider giving to charity? And you know, what do you hear from clients about how they decide the amount to give?
We don't see a rule of thumb. It is a very personal, very customized approach. I can give you a general background. For those that don't have a consistent income, if they're living off their investments in Social Security, they tend to be a little more conservative in their giving. There's always a fear of running out of money.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So there's a lot of legacy planning. You know, our job as advisors and wealth managers and good stewards, we don't want them to run out of money either. So we want to make sure there's enough there, whether their life expectancy is 85, 95, or 155. We want to make sure there's something there. So with that type of planning, there should be something left behind. So we do a lot of legacy planning, but then there's also a lot of calendar year giving as well. And again, it's very unique, very customized. There's we have many, many clients. It's a big portion of their budget, and others it's a smaller portion.
I would say if someone's really giving between 5% of their income, they're doing pretty well. That's kind of something to shoot for, you know. But Jay, tell me about, I know I'm always, because you're a community development corp, you have this specialness of being able to, is it the tax credits?
Yeah.
Help me.
We have in a unique position. About 4 years ago, the state of Massachusetts created a tax credit program for community development corporations. And so each year we get an allotment of what are called community investment tax credits from the state. And so for a donor who gives $1,000 or more to the Community Development Partnership, we give them a tax credit worth 50% of their contribution. And what a tax credit is that's actually money you get to deduct off of your tax bill. So for a donor in the highest income bracket, you know, that gift of $1,000 or better yet, $10,000 ends up costing the donor about $300 or $3,000 for a $10,000 contribution. We get this year we got $150,000 in tax credits. It's going to leverage over $300,000 in investment, and individuals and businesses and foundations can all use this tax credit. And there are other community development corporations on the Cape and Islands, too, including the Housing Assistance Corporation and Housing Nantucket and the Island Housing Trust on Martha's Vineyard, who are also part of this program. But it's a great way to leverage, for donors to leverage their contributions and see their dollars go farther, and also still enjoy significant tax savings kind of regardless of what the implications of the tax reform bill that was passed last year will have.
Rebecca has sent us a note. She says, every year at Thanksgiving, I determine how much money we have available to give to charities. Usually it is very low as we are a paycheck to paycheck household. But then I sit down with my two children and we each get one third to donate to the charity of each person's choice or multiple charities. Last year we supported charities to protect polar bears, free speech, as well as LGBT youth. Giving them the choice helps them think about who needs the money and even do some research about it. Plus, the polar bear charity gave us a stuffed bear and a picture of the animal we adopted. Rebecca, thanks for that. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're discussing giving this hour. How do you decide what charities to support? And do you donate time, your talent, or monetary donation? And how are you teaching your children or grandchildren about giving and volunteer work? 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. In studio with us is Jason Lilly, Chief Wealth Management Services Officer at Cape Cod 5, and Karen Bissonette, Executive Director at the Falmouth Housing Trust. On the phone, Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership. So we've sort of touched on a little bit of the monetary stuff here, but the time, of course, is valuable contribution to nonprofits, just like financial contributions. Donors can give a little or give a lot. Are there certain types of nonprofits that can utilize volunteers more readily than others? I'm thinking every nonprofit I know says, "Oh, we couldn't do it without the volunteers," and that's true for many.
Right.
Like, Karen, you're one. You're just one employee.
Just me. And I have a great board, and they all have different talents, and I go to them, you know, daily to reap their experiences. But one great example in Falmouth is a volunteer in public schools, which is, I think, just an incredible organization. They engage so many, you know, thousands and thousands of hours a year. And that's just, you know, but as I've been on the Boys and Girls Club board 20 years, you know, and I enjoy that because of the mission. And I think it's mission driven. Mm-hmm. It's passion.
Yeah. What do you think, Jason?
I think, you know, different types of organizations have different types of events. Those events that have large gatherings or expect, you know, large crowds, you need more volunteers. So having a staple of a number of volunteers, even if they just volunteer 2 to 5 hours a month, you get the advocacy. You get that time when you need it to support some of those larger events, things like that. I think so. Like capabilities, they have a lot of large events. They come to mind. United Way, of course. Mm-hmm. I think of Entrepreneurship for All, E4All, which is a relatively new organization here on the Cape. They wouldn't be able to provide the services that they do without the talent and the time. Mm-hmm. So similar to SCORE in some respects, they they look for professionals that have success in particular areas of business to help support entrepreneurs get their idea from idea to off the ground and up and running.
Jay, you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think folks think about volunteering for a nonprofit is, you know, stuffing envelopes and, you know, kind of doing real menial tasks. And I think that volunteering for nonprofits has really evolved, and there is a great need for, pretty high-level expertise of volunteers. So, for example, mentoring can be a real key thing. Jason mentioned the E4All program of working with small businesses. We certainly, you know, have opportunities for people to mentor business owners. We, for example, have a volunteer loan committee that makes lending decisions from our microloan funds, and that's, you know, that's volunteer work, yes, but it takes a fair amount of expertise for people to really be able to pore over business plans and evaluate proposals that we get. We also have opportunities for volunteers to work with us to kind of help us with our communications and writing and editing, doing follow-up research. You know, I mentioned we have a first-time homebuyer class, and so it's volunteers that actually help us do the follow-up 6 months and a year later with people who go through that class because we want to see what the results were. And so I think there are a lot of very meaningful volunteer opportunities in nonprofits that move way beyond just clerical tasks, mm-hmm. and can, as Karen was saying earlier, really help particularly our retirees continue to be engaged and continue to be active professionally and using their considerable expertise for the greater good.
Yeah. Henry sent us, and he says, is the RMD money given to a nonprofit taxable?
The required minimum distribution that goes to the nonprofit is not.
It's not taxable.
Yeah.
So it comes directly from your IRA to the organization, and it is not taxable. So not only do you get your distribution done, you don't pay tax on that. Mm. So it's a win-win for everyone. Yeah. So please.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was going to, quick example, let's say your required minimum distribution is $10,000. That's the amount that the government, based on the factor, it's mandatory to take out. You donate $5,000 of that directly to charity of your choice. Comes out as part, meets that $5,000, goes to meet the RMD requirement. No income tax is paid on that piece. And then the other $5,000 satisfies the remaining portion of the required minimum distribution, and that would be taxable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you donate your time in a professional capacity, can that be itemized as a tax deduction? No.
No. It used to be, and I'm not sure the new taxes, you can, you know, your mileage and things like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. I've never taken a mileage deduction for a charity, but no, that's all on you. Yeah. And, you know, I just think it's important for people that are listening. If you are trying to find a place to volunteer, gosh, there are so many mm-hmm. organizations. And you can actually call me and I'll help you find one if that's the issue. Right,
Jay's saying call me.
Yeah. Jason. No, I'm just saying not even my organization. I can probably direct you, you know, to some other organizations as well. Just yeah.
And there's also a great resource called Cape Cod Volunteers,
right.
which is a part of the United Way. That's basically a database of all kinds of volunteer opportunities throughout the Cape. And I think for people who are interested in learning about different opportunities, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
I was going to, in terms of resources, I was going to mention Cape Cod Volunteers.org is a place you can find more information, and I think there's a search feature there. ConnectCapeCod.org, which is associated with Cape Cod Foundation, is another mm-hmm. search tool. On Cape Cod 5's website, under the community engagement, we have a list of some of the organizations that we support that might be helpful just in a sense of just looking at the number mm-hmm. of different organizations.
And I guess you want to be clear, too, on how much time, you know, have a clear understanding of what mm-hmm. you're being asked to do and, you know.
Job description. Yes.
Job description, that's
yeah.
right.
No,
right? Even
job
when you're volunteering. Yeah,
yeah, I think every organization should have a job description for their volunteers, for their board. You want to set the expectation.
Go ahead.
There's a real misconception too that you know that volunteers are free just free labor for a nonprofit and really to create a meaningful experience mm-hmm. really you and provide volunteers with the kind of care and support that they need. it is really important that there be things like a job description, that there's somebody who's supervising, that there be some training and orientation. And I think, you know, if somebody's interested in volunteering, that's a really good litmus test, if you will, as to, you know, ask questions about what kind of orientation will I receive, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of supervision is available, what kind of training am I going to get to just to know that I can do a job effectively. And you really want to know that the nonprofit is really serious about their volunteers and provides that kind of support.
Yeah, I mean, these are your ambassadors. I mean, they're going out into the community and talking about your organization. So nonprofit boards also volunteer positions. And as you were just saying, Jason, you got asked to sit on this board. You went, wait a minute, why do they want me? Right? Yeah. But so this is another great way to give back. And there are certainly a number of boards to choose from. And organizations use boards differently. If one is asked to sit on a board, what are some of the questions that you should be considering? I loved your idea of the family, with the family time. That was a great idea.
Well, it's time. It's expectations. Like, how much time is it going to take? For instance, the Falmouth Housing Trust, we meet once a month. There are, you know, sometimes things in between. Sometimes there are phone calls for me. And I think that you want to get a board that has a variety of different talents, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really important because I would think Jay would agree with me. You know, we want to use these people as a resource.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we actually have a board member agreement that almost like a contract that really kind of spells out what our mutual expectations are. You know, we do an orientation for our new board members. You know, we're real clear with our board members that being engaged in fundraising is a really key part of the contribution that board members make. But also, you know, that being involved in fundraising, too, isn't just asking people for money. It's being an ambassador out in the community, of introducing your networks to the organization and sharing with your friends and family and business colleagues about why you volunteer your time for this organization and why it's important to you. But I think it's really key to be upfront with board members. And just like you, I was saying, you should provide your volunteers with support. You've got to do the same for your board members.
Mm-hmm. And for the listeners out there, you might hear this and think, oh, well, that sounds like a lot of work. And it
can be.
It can be, and oftentimes it is. But I've been on more than a half a dozen different boards, and there isn't one instance that I haven't found it completely, absolutely worthwhile.
Yes.
It's been a great return on investment. I think my first actual board participation was actually Philanthropy Day committee, where I met Karen. And now we've been friends for over a decade now. The return in terms of new friendships, professional, personal development is, from my experience, well worth the time, energy, and effort.
But so, I will say, and this is kind of my mantra to people on any board, is that when you sit on a board, it should be probably one of your top two or three philanthropic efforts, right, Jay?
Yep, absolutely.
So, I mean, I would say that expect to give. Some people can give a lot. Some people can give less than a lot. But I think it's really important that you know going onto that board, because the board can't go out and ask others for money unless they've given themselves. So I think it's important to have that expectation of board members.
You know, I'm so proud of our board at the Community Development Partnership that we have 100% giving. And it's also a great range from, you know, we have board members who give us $5,000 or more a year. But we also, you know, one of the residents of one of our affordable housing units is on our board of directors. And that resident gives us $10 a month. But I think being real clear with board members about, you know, needing to make supporting the organization one of your top priorities is really important, because it's kind of hard to go out and raise funds from other donors if the people who are making the decisions aren't in and aren't invested financially in the organization.
So as Jay's saying, it's basically making a contribution that's meaningful to you, whatever that is.
Yes.
All right, Jay Coburn is the CEO of the Community Development Partnership. Karen Bissonette's executive director at the Falmouth Housing Trust. Jason Lilly, Chief Wealth Management Services Officer at Cape Cod 5. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on giving with us today. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.